Random House Audio presents Then Again by Diane Keaton. Read by the author.
I always say my life is this family, and that's the truth. Dorothy Dean Keaton Hall. Think. Mom loved adages, quotes, slogans. There were always little reminders pasted on the kitchen wall. For example, the word think. I found think thumbtacked on a bulletin board in her dark room. I saw it scotch-taped on a pencil box she'd collaged in. I even found a pamphlet titled Think on her bedside table. Mom liked to think. In a notebook, she wrote, I'm reading Tom Robbins' book, Even Cowgirls Get the Blues. The passage about marriage ties in with women's struggle for accomplishment. I'm writing this down for future thinking. She followed with a Robbins quote. For most poor, dumb, brainwashed women, marriage is the climactic experience. For men, marriage is a matter of efficient logistics. The male gets his food, bed, laundry, TV, offspring, and creature comforts all under one roof. But for a woman, marriage is surrender. Marriage is when a girl gives up the fight and from then on leaves the truly interesting and significant action to her husband, who has bargained to take care of her. Women live longer than men because they really haven't been living. Mom liked to think about life, especially the experience of being a woman. She liked to write about it, too. In the mid-70s, on a visit home, I was printing some photographs I'd taken of Atlantic City in Mother's darkroom when I found something I'd never seen. It was some kind of, I don't know, sketchbook. On the cover was a collage she'd made out of family photographs with the words, It's the journey that counts, not the arrival. I picked it up and flipped through the pages. Although it included several collages made from snapshots and magazine cutouts, it was filled with page after page of writing. Had a productive day at Hunter's bookstore. We rearranged the art section and discovered many interesting books hidden away. It's been 2 weeks since I was hired. I make $3.35 an hour. Today, I got paid $89 in total. This wasn't one of Mom's typical scrapbooks with the usual napkins from Clifton's cafeteria, old black and white photographs, and my less than thrilling report cards. This was a journal. An entry dated August 2nd, 1976 read, Watch out on this page. For you, the possible reader in the future, this takes courage. I'm speaking of what is on my mind. I am angry. Target, Jack, bad names, those he flung at me, not forgotten, and that is undoubtedly the problem. You friggin' bastard, all said, all felt. God, who the hell does he think he is? That was it for me. Oh, that was too raw. Way too raw. I didn't want to know about an aspect of mother and father's life that could shatter my perception of their love. I put it down, walked out of the dark room, and did not open another one of her 85 journals until she died some 30 years later. But, of course, no matter how hard I tried to deny their presence, I couldn't help but see them resting on bookshelves or placed underneath the telephone or even staring up at me from inside a kitchen drawer. One time, I began looking through Mom's new Georgia O'Keeffe 100 Flowers picture book on the coffee table, only to find a journal titled, Who Says You Haven't Got a Chance, lying underneath. It was as if they were conspiring me. Pick me up, Diane. Pick us up. Forget it. There was no way I was going to go through that experience again, but I was impressed with Mom's tenacity. How could she keep writing without an audience, not even her own family? She just did. She wrote about going back to school at age 40. She wrote about being a teacher. She wrote about every stray cat she rescued. When her sister Marty got skin cancer and lost most of her nose, she wrote about that too. She wrote about her frustrations with aging. When Dad got sick in 1990, Her journal raged at the injustice of the cancer that attacked his brain. The documentation of his passing proved to be some of Mom's finest reporting. It was as if taking care of Jack made her love him in a way that helped her become the person she always wished she could have been. I was trying to get Jack to eat today, but he couldn't. After a while, I took off my glasses, I put my head close to his, and I told him, I whispered to him, that I missed him. I started to cry. I didn't want him to see, so I turned my head away, and Jack, with what little strength remained in that damn body of his, took a napkin from my pocket and slowly, as with everything he did, slowly, so slowly, he looked at me with those piercing blue eyes and wiped the tears away from my face. We'll make it through this, Dorothy. He didn't. In the end, Mom took care of Dad just as she had taken care of Randy, Robin, Dory, and me all our lives. But who was there for her when she wrote in a shaky hand? June 1993. This is the day I heard I have the beginning of Alzheimer's disease. Scary. Thus began a 15-year battle against the loss of memory. She kept writing. When she could no longer write paragraphs, she wrote sentences like, would we hurt each other less if we touched each other more? And honor thyself. And short questions and statements like, quick, what's today's date? Or odd things like, my head is taking a turn. When she couldn't write sentences, she wrote words. Rent, call, flowers, car, and even her favorite word, think. When she ran out of words, she wrote numbers until she couldn't write anymore. Dorothy Dean Keaton was born in Winfield, Kansas in 1921. Her parents, Beulah and Roy, drifted into California before she was three. They were heartlanders in search of the big dream. It dumped them into the hills of Pasadena. Mom played the piano and sang in a trio called Two Dots and a Dash at her high school. She was 16 when her father drove off, leaving Beulah and her three daughters to fend for themselves. It was hard times for the Keaton girls in the late 30s. Beulah, who'd never worked a day in her life, had to find a job. Dorothy gave up her college dreams in order to help around the house until Beulah finally found work as a janitor. I have a photograph of 16-year-old Dorothy standing next to her father, Roy Keaton. Why did he leave his favorite daughter, his look-alike? Why? How could he have driven away knowing he would forever break some part of her heart? Everything changed when Dorothy met Jack Hall on a basketball court at Los Angeles Pacific College in Highland Park. Mom loved to recall how this handsome, black-haired, blue-eyed young man had come to meet her sister Martha, but only had eyes for her. She would laugh and say, it was love at first sight. And it must have been, because not long after that, they eloped in Las Vegas at the Stardust Hotel. Mom never told me of her dreams for herself. There were hints, though. She was president of the PTA, as well as the Arroyo Vista Ladies Club. She was a Sunday school teacher at our Free Methodist Church. She entered every contest on the back of every cereal box. She loved game shows. Our favorite was Queen for a Day, emceed by Jack Bailey, who began each episode 5 days a week with, would you like to be Queen for a Day? The game went like this. Bailey interviewed four women. Whoever was in the worst shape, assessed by the audience applause meter, was crowned queen for a day. With pomp and circumstance playing, he would wrap the winner in a velvet cape with a white fur collar, place a sparkling tiara on her head, and give her 4 dozen red coronation roses from Carl's of Hollywood. Mom and Annie Martha wrote their sad stories on the application sheet.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?